Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
Alex, welcome as well.
Thank you. Very well.
All right. Wonderful. Well, let's talk about the divisional round in the NFL playoffs this year. I must say, all these games, aside from the very first game of the wild card, Chiefs-Texans, competitive games. Even when you think there's a blowout, there's not a blowout. But, I mean, all the games have been close in one respect or another. So, that's the good part. Mm. But I guess we have to start off with Saturday afternoon, Chiefs-Patriots. A lot of people like the Chiefs to upset. They were on a 11-game winning streak, 12-game winning streak. It was a big run, and they couldn't get it done. Guy came close, but I mean, you've heard all week, and you're gonna hear it continue into the offseason about Andy Reid and his clock management style. And now people are even going back to the Super Bowl 39, and being like, well, maybe it's not McNabb's fault. Look at how bad the clock was running in that game.
Well, if they would have kept running the ball, then.
Well, yeah, I couldn't believe it. Well, first of all, that fumble, and we talked about this, Alex, Kansas City had a plus 20 turnover differential.
Right.
They don't turn the ball over. And what do? They turn the ball over. Not Alex Smith's fault. Was that Chandrick West? I think it was either Spencer Ware or Spencer Ware. Oh boy. And, he fumbled the ball and that allowed a touchdown. And that was the difference. If you go by scoring, that was the difference. But we know that the big difference was the wasting time going into that final drive for the Chiefs.
Yeah, what was he thinking?
I don't know what he was thinking.
He defended it by saying...
Something about, like, I think it was basically like, well, if we still had our timeouts and we would have gotten it back if not for a deflected pass or something like that.
Ridiculous.
That sounds like a reach.
Yes, it was. They huddled up.
Right.
On the goal, they huddled up. That's all you have to know. I was screaming at the television.
It's either that or they don't have a no-huddle offense.
Do they run a two-minute drill? 16 plays, six-minute drive, pass it, and the fact that they didn't even run off one play. I mean, looking at, I'll give an example. Earlier in the game, when the Patriots were driving down and Brady had that big run and, you know, was it a touchdown, And I said, everybody's like, well, they should challenge it. No, because we know exactly what was going to happen. He's gonna quarterback sneak it. And what does he do?
Same thing.
Just grabs the ball, reaches it over, and pulls it right back.
There is no more infuriating play in football than watching Tom Brady do that terrible sneak.
Because you all know it coming, and then you can't. Well, let's crowd over. But he does that thing where look, he's not stupid. I don't like him, but he's not stupid. You know, he grabs the ball, puts it over, and then holds it back. So hey, the ball's over. Yeah, of course it's legal, but, like, that's how you do it. Like, all right, let's line up. Let's just run a play. Go. Who knows what'll happen? Chiefs are just like, well, do we have the right personnel? Do we go jumbo? What do we do? All wideouts?
Well, you're thinking, they're thinking too.
Yeah, I know, but apparently.
So it's smart.
But yeah. I will say, the only time that they really were moving the ball against New England was when they were actually running the option. And Alex Smith is a great quarterback to run the option with.
He has a little foot speed.
He's a scrambler. Like you talk about, like, the definition of a running quarterback has changed from what it was with Tarkenton and, you know, his ilk. But, I mean, he's a scrambler. Like, he can legitimately run, but he has more of an arm.
Well, he fits into that kind of Aaron Rodgers mold of...
Yes.
Like, you know they're pocket passers, but they can weave, they can move, they can run if they have to.
Yes, absolutely, they can run and they have to, and they can run successfully. But I mean, there was that one play where they ran the op, where it was the throwback to the running back, and he had the linebacker on him, like he had dead set on Alex Smith, and he just tossed it to the side. So,
but the Chiefs had they had won 11 straight.
Yes.
And the Patriots had won 10 straight to start the year.
That is true.
So,
another theme I've been noticing in the playoffs is your last impression only. Two-game losing streak going into play. Oh, Patriots, they don't look too good. Oh, boy. They win a game. Wow. There's no way. They're in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs. Wow, 11-game win. Look at how they killed the Texans. No, they lost. Wow. They are not very good. There's a lot of glaring flaws.
Short memories.
Right, but
what have you done for me lately?
But every game, Packers beat the Redskins. Hey, the Packers look pretty good.
Seahawks are on fire.
Seahawks are amazing. Panthers are great. Ooh,
was anyone really turning around and be like, Seahawks are amazing after a 10-9
yes.
game?
Yes, they were.
God.
Absolutely.
I'm out of the loop.
And a missed field goal.
And don't forget, they had that second life. You see that every now and then, like a team's got that
Right, then they think it's destiny.
Right, but no, not in this case. But I mean, you know, well, let's go to that game. Very quickly, let's go to the Packer-Cardinal game. Probably the best game of the weekend.
Probably.
just goes to overtime. Two Hail Marys on the same drive.
The coin doesn't flip.
The coin. Remember, it's called the coin toss. It is called the coin toss. Commemorative coin toss. We call it the coin flip because that's what we flip the coin. But we take a quarter and we put it on our thumb and we go flip it with our finger. This is a giant coin.
So here's the rule change I want to see. What's back to using real coins. None of this, like, because does he have to carry that around, or is that like specially kept on the sideline?
Well, there's the Super Bowl one, which like they bring that out. Like this side has the emblem of the NFL. That's heads, and this one is the Lombardi Trophy. That's
it's like the size of a frisbee.
Right, it's giant, and like that's the one where I was telling you they flip it like a horseshoe. They hold it on the edge and they whoop. They flick their wrist and they flip it up. I don't know what they don't use a giant one for the regular season games, even playoff games. Right. It might be like, oh, this was the coin used
commemorative
in this game.
Coin.
Right, commemorative, but it's not a like a jewel that you hang around.
Right.
It's not 50 cents G unit because it's 2001 apparently.
that's a deep cut on that.
I know, sorry, but it's the only thing that was popping in my mind. So you know, but I think you're right. Use the small coin. Okay, you're gonna flip it with your thumb.
Does it come down to that? I mean, we're going to talk about the coin toss.
Well, but
what size? What does it turn? Doesn't it?
But how about this? Make a tackle in overtime. You had just scored on a ridiculous Hail Mary.
Yep.
That one's crazy.
And the way that Rodgers threw it, he wasn't even looking. Like, he just threw it up. He quite literally said a prayer and threw it in the air. Like, there's no way that can't happen again. You know, regardless of the fact that there was just two defenders back there on one guy, it wasn't like the sea of hands.
Yeah, he almost just punched it out.
Yeah, so they let him back. Same thing what they did with the Lions and Rodgers, all that stuff. But the problem is that Rodgers. So they score and everybody. Wow, this could happen. This could happen. Okay, technically it was the Cardinals turned out of the ball. If you're thinking that way. So, but it's a broken play. Yes. But somebody's got to cover Fitzgerald. I mean, this is a future Hall of Famer. I don't care if he's, 35? However old he is. No,
they should be covering Edelman, too, but nobody does it.
Yes, I agree.
I was about to say he's a different prospect, but they are just different players.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, hey, stop him.
Well, saying, like, Clay Matthews coming out after the game and being like, oh, we should play college. It's like,
no.
If you'd have tried a bit harder on the run back. Like,
yes.
You had two opportunities to tackle him, and you've just kind of very lightly let him run by.
Where was Sam Shields? You can't tell me he's covering Michael Floyd. Your best cornerback should really be covering your best wide receiver, the opponent's wide receiver. Larry Fitzgerald is still...
But he moves around.
He does, but look, they were...
not within out of 30 yards of the nearest player.
But Sam Shields, like, he came back for this game, and it made a difference in the game.
Right.
He almost picked off Palmer at least once, and there was a couple other times that he was in the crowd.
Was it Sam Shields that deflected the ball that then got caught for the touchdown?
I think it was by Michael Floyd. And then, you know, Rodgers is doing it with scrubs. Jeff Janis? I mean, and I don't even know how to pronounce it, the other guy, wide receiver. I mean, Randall Cobb goes down. There was James Jones even in the game? I know Devontae Adams was out. I mean, there was nobody. Nobody right. left. So things look bleak for the Packers. Look, the Packers were lucky to get out of there to begin with.
Yeah, right.
They played really well. But, you know, it sets up the, you know, the dramatics of the game. And Carson Palmer, again, everybody, Arizona's going to be Carolina. Like, going into the playoffs, everybody thought Arizona. They have the best roster. Carson Palmer's had an MVP-type season.
Right.
David Johnson came out of nowhere. And after this game, we're just like, wow, Palmer stinks. David Johnson, this was the biggest game he played, and he almost pissed his pants. And just, like, seriously, all this stuff's like, right. Oh, no, there's no way Carolina's winning. Carolina's going to beat Arizona.
Is everyone just turning around being like, Patriots are going to win now?
Pretty much. Like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, every week it goes from, hey, they're looking really good, to, or wow, they don't have a shot.
Is the Super Bowl Arizona and Carolina?
Could be.
I mean, as far as the best game, could be. The best matchup.
I think that is the best matchup, unless you want the 17th go-around of Brady versus Manning, which I particularly don't. And anybody who's complaining about another Brady versus Manning, then you want Manning to win so he can retire. Like, that's, you don't
want to lose and retire.
That's not going to, no, that's not going to.
Just get crushed.
Cause he's gonna,
just leave.
I understand
get
that.
Off the stage.
But he's the type of guy who's going to be, you know, all you need, no. He's not going to retire if he loses this game.
Just that'd be such a Manning thing to do. Play the half the season, win the Super Bowl, retire.
Well, yes, of course.
There's only two types of football players. Those that quit football and those that football quits them.
Yes, it's true.
He might be a football quits them.
He might be. So let's get to that game. Steelers-Broncos. The Steelers could have had that game. Mm. As amazing as it was.
And what went wrong?
A fumble by Toussaint. That was a big, big one. And just some of the play call, or at least some of the Tomlin's decisions, like not going for the field goal when it was like a 20-something yarder, even though it was very windy. So I can at least say that.
Right.
Very windy game. And
well, he hasn't trusted his kicker all year.
No, I mean, that's why the second kicker.
They go for two. Yeah. He doesn't even want to kick an extra point.
No.
Well, I think they missed Antonio Brown so much.
They
like
did
so
miss
many.
It.
You're just thinking Ben's got time.
Yeah.
Why is he not throwing it? It's because no one's there.
I mean, their offensive line.
So he wasn't
up.
Faking it, Brown.
No, he wasn't faking.
He wasn't
it.
Winking at Pac-Man.
No,
no, none of that.
Jones apologized for that. Pac-Man Jones said, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean
my
to.
My bad.
That was not cool of me to say." So something like that. So yeah, so there he is. There's the Steelers almost pulling it off, but then a fumble and. Look, Manning was able to make the plays on that last drive as best he could. And I think also
what,
the...
hand the ball off?
Well, yeah. That too. No, but
he knelt down effectively.
That too. But there was that one pass, I think it was to Sanders, that went for like 20, 30 yards.
Right.
That got them out of their own zone.
Down the sideline.
Yeah, that was helpful too. But, you know, look, 7 drop passes. And they weren't necessarily hard pass. Like, they weren't... Just
well,
over
been
the head.
Dropping the ball all year.
Yeah, they have been. So if they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, A, they need to. Manning has to go 22 of 25 at the very least. Like, no more drop passes, guys. You want to blame the wind? You want to blame the fact that it was fluttering out like a butterfly, just like coming out of the out of Manning's hand not very well? I can buy that. But they were able to pull it off, and good for them. Mm. And then, of course, one of the other. Big games. It was the Panthers and the Seahawks. Panthers jump out to a 24-0 lead on Russell Wilson's first pick six.
Yeah,
I think either in the playoffs or his career. And they just ran the ball.
Yeah, that's a super impressive
old
unit.
School.
Oh, they just ran the ball. Their leading receiver was Greg Olsen, was the Panthers. Cam right. Newton was running it a little bit. And then at halftime, 24-0. All right.
He's an effective runner. That's very, hard to scheme.
That is very, very much. But look, they just decided. All right, we're basically gonna kneel. Our defense is strong enough. We'll kneel. They can't. The Seahawks couldn't run the ball. Every time I Lynch got stood up behind the line of scrimmage, almost every single time, they decided to pass the ball. Look, you pass the ball a lot, you're gonna find open men. You know, I don't care how good Josh Norman and everybody else in the defensive backfield is, you're gonna throw the ball. You'll find somebody.
But when
you're
ahead that much, you're leaving a lot underneath.
True.
So and they capitalized on it.
Yeah, I don't can't
but
blame
not
them.
Enough to win.
No, but it got it close, got it very very close.
But they're fun to watch.
Carolina or Seattle?
Carolina?
Oh, gosh, yeah, Carolina. Jonathan Stewart comes back, and how's he going to be? He's been off for like six, seven, all these weeks.
Looks well-rested.
Like what, 158 yards? Is he...
106 yards.
106 yards. My apologies, 150.
5.6 average.
I know. And two touchdowns, correct?
Two touchdowns.
I mean, just running the ball left and right. And but it got exciting. First time in NFL history, 24 unanswered points, and you lose the game. You score 24 unanswered points, and you lose the game in the fourth quarter. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, right. I'd switched off at halftime, and then someone texted me. I was like, you need to watch this. Yeah, this is getting close.
The
was
game's like, back on. Okay. It's still in.
They have let off the gas.
Yes, and we saw pretty much the last game of Marshawn Lynch in a Seattle uniform, it seems like. So he'll be done, it looks like. Which
he's 30, so.
He's 30, and, you know.
Might be time to go.
Well, all the stuff, you know.
What about Steven Jackson?
Steven Jackson signed off the couch by the Patriots because James White's not really
tough
doing it too well.
NFL junk pile.
Right. Brandon Bolden's not scaring anybody. Steven Jackson, he got the majority. Now, they barely ran the ball. They decided to throw the
all
ball.
All year.
Well, yeah, but especially in the game against the Chiefs, they decided to just throw
but they
it.
Can be run against.
They can be run against, absolutely. What, the Chiefs can be run
no,
against?
No, the
Patriots. Yeah, of course the Patriots can be run on by an opponent.
That's why I want to see them playing the Panthers.
That would be good.
Because you got to account for that strong run game and Cam Newton.
Right.
As
well,
a passer and a runner.
Well, that's so that'll be for the Super Bowl, but let's talk about championship weekend.
That's the best weekend.
It's the last real slate of games. You basically get two title games.
And if you're not in the hospital, you're suiting up.
Pretty much. So here we have Brady versus Manning, number 17.
That's boring.
But only the fifth time they've met in the playoffs, though. You'd think it's more. And they're both 2-2. And both times the home team has won. All four times the home team has won. Brady's won twice in Foxborough, and Manning's won twice, whether it be the RCA Dome or now Mile High Stadium. So Brady has a lot of difficult. I think he's like 1-6 in Denver all time. Some statistic where he's not very good in Denver.
I think the Patriots are going to walk out with it.
I don't want that to happen.
No, nobody wants that.
No, but like really. I can't remember the 70s or the 80s because I wasn't born or I was very young. But just whenever seeing the Steelers in the 70s in the Super Bowl or the
right.
the Niners, even if they didn't go competing, like how did it, what was sort of the atmosphere? Was there ever like, oh, God, them again? Or
no, people loved it.
Okay.
People love dynasties.
It's true.
From a personal point of view, I'd love to see Brady lose the Super Bowl more than I'd like to see Manning lose the Super Bowl.
No, I don't want to see Manning lose the Super Bowl. That's like that's sad, pathetic.
That's like watching an old man like lose something.
Yes.
Yeah, like, but if you won't leave the stage, you're going to get booed eventually.
True. So, you know, if the Broncos were to win, it's because of their defense and their running game. And Manning may be making a couple of good throws. But do you, if it gets bad, do you bring an Osweiler? Or do you just go down with the captain at the helm?
Well, I think you have to bring an Osweiler in.
I don't know that he'd let you take him off.
I don't know if, I don't know if Elway would let that happen.
Mm.
Like, Elway and Kubiak, the head coach, are best friends. Like, they were, Kubiak was Elway's backup, and I think he was quarterback coach for a little while, too.
Right.
So, you know they're going into meetings, and Elway's sitting in there. I mean, those are three quarterbacks just sitting there. I'm sure they're having a powwow before, you know, just talking like, look, don't take him out. Don't take me out.
No
I'm not going to take him out. I don't know if that is happening. That's probably a conspiracy theorist, but just hanging out, not hanging out, but like, look, let's talk about this game. How are we going to beat them? All right, well, you know, this, this, and that.
And when things go horribly wrong?
Are you going to take me out? I can't do that.
What?
Nah, Gary, I can't do you know, John, I can't do that. Peyton, I can't do that.
I would give him a shorter string. Make him play.
No, I agree. Honestly, yeah. what would be best is at halftime switch. Because,
Manning would go down before he gets subbed.
Fair enough.
Well, if they take him out, I predict he'll limp off.
Yeah, that's true.
Some kind of reason like that.
Oh, yeah. He would definitely mask it. He wouldn't just be like, I'm proud, and I'm walking off like, ah, my leg hurts. Like, I can't.
Doing it for the team.
That's right. But, you know, it's hard not to look and see Edelman, you know, 5 yards off the ball, a quick slant. Or
if Edelman wasn't in the game, I'd be a bit more confident.
True.
Confident. But I just think they've got too many weapons.
No, it's like Edelman, Gronkowski. And
Amendola in a pinch.
If Amendola, well, I know he's not going to get suspended. How about that hit that Amendola laid on the Chiefs guy?
Yeah.
That was...
Legal?
No, that was not. That should not have been. And if we're saying that that was legal, then we have to look back at Perfect's. Perfect led with the shoulder. Amendola led with the shoulder. Both went for the head. So if we're going to say that Perfect's is bad, then we have to say Amendola's
bad. I more meant, like, in that situation, I couldn't believe that the Chiefs player isn't protected in any way.
Why? Well, he's coming for the ball.
Yeah, it just seems it's so rare that you see.
Oh, it's
a return,
rare.
Like, not even a return man. What's the gunner even
that close?
Yeah,
just getting up. Like, you should be pushed out of bounds at that point. Also,
it was such a weird play. Like, watching it back, I was like, wait, is the Chiefs? No. Yeah. No. What?
How did he get the ball? So yeah. He must have been untouched. And Amendola's like, well, you're not getting the ball. And then. Now, how about this? Because I've also heard, like, on that penalty, that's an unsportsmanlike. It was downed at, what, the 4 or the 2? Yeah,
it's a 2-yard penalty.
It's a 2-yard penalty.
I know.
So shouldn't it, in retrospect, if they were to change it, like, if you're within, like, I don't know, 10 yards of the end or whatever, 15 or less, it's added to the first, like, it's first and 25 as opposed to first and 10 from your 2.
Well, I'm thinking as a player, why don't you take that opportunity to do your dirty business?
They tried. Amendola was pushing. And
I mean, what's left for us to fans?
He had his helmet almost up. No, I understand.
Yeah. I mean, is it worth getting thrown out of the game? I guess all the special teams guys, like, do what you want.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so that was...
That's the problem you have when you have offensive players tackling.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how to... Just using my head, my shoulders, my elbows, whatever.
Andy Dalton, don't do it.
Yeah, no. Never God, again. No, please. That would be
ridiculous.
So there's that game. And of course, the other game we're talking about might be... You know, you see that time to time. I think, was it Niners, Cowboys in 94? Like, whoever played the... I think it was the Steelers that year. Like, obviously, the best team was either the Niners or the Cowboys that year, and that, you know, that was the game. Or the Seahawks and the Niners a couple years ago with the... I forget what was the last play on that one. But the one where they lost in Seattle.
Right.
That was a game where it's like, wow, these are two of the best teams, and that ended up being a better game than the actual Super Bowl. So Arizona and Carolina, two of the best teams all season.
Right.
And now they're meeting up for the first time. Besides, we've already seen Patriots Broncos already this year, although albeit under different conditions and different personnel, but still saw that game already. This is a new game. This is new. It's hard not to say Carolina is going to win it.
Yeah, they've had the stronger postseason.
They've had the much stronger postseason. I mean, they didn't even throw the ball. If necessary, they can still throw the ball. They threw it to Greg Olsen a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this is going to be a tough one. And Patriots and Panthers are who Vegas likes. I mean, that's the line.
Yeah. That's Panthers by 3.5, right?
Right. Panthers by 3. Panthers by 3.5, depending on where you go.
Right.
And New England given 3 as well.
But against the Broncos would be Panthers like 7.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And I thought it interesting. The first round, all the road teams were favored.
Right.
They didn't cover.
But they won.
Divisional round, all the home teams were favored. Not all of them covered, but
they won.
So now something has to give. Because one road team's favored, one home team is favored.
Right.
Well, so, I think by the time you get to the postseason, the teams are so well known that the lines are it's the spread game, not the pick 'em.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I mean, that's just a case where again, not all of them covered. If it'd be different, it's like, look, wow,
the favorite
it covered each and every time this postseason. Right, no, there have been several times when that didn't happen, and so now we have a. I mean, those are tough ones to call. I mean, both are 3, 3.5, varies, but nothing over that.
I think the worry for me is the Carolina game. I mean, if they if they have to abandon the run early.
Who does?
If Carolina has to abandon the run.
I don't think they're capable of doing that.
If it's not working and the Cardinals can just go into full pass defense, I don't know whether their pass offense is good enough to catch. If they go 14-0 down, can they catch up with the run?
It's tough because your wide receivers are Ted Ginn, Jericho Cotchery, and Devin Funchess. And Greg Olsen, legitimately, honestly, yeah. Greg Olsen is their number one receiver. But look, if he's covered, then
Ginn going long,
maybe. Look, I mean, Newton's got the arm, but
he can run from pass or run formation. I mean,
that's true.
He's dangerous.
How many quick motion draws does he do?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I get that.
So
I take two. He takes a two step drop and then he starts.
I don't know what they could do without the run game. I mean,
yeah, that's why if it gets
a puzzle that might not exist.
Might not exist. That's the only way I see them losing. If there's like a pick six or like a special teams touchdown that gets them too far behind too quickly and they abandon the run.
Similar to what happened in the game with the Seahawks, where the Seahawks were down so far. Yeah, they were just okay, we just got to pass it. Our running game.
And in the end, that turned out to be the right thing for them.
Yes, it did. It did.
Fires out that pass rush, though.
It does. It does.
Neutralizes everything.
So, Dad, who do you like this week in spreads?
Well, I like the Panthers a lot. I mean, I'll be rooting for the Cardinals because I got them at 22-1 in September.
True.
So I'm liking that. But I got the Panthers at 12-1, so I'm liking that. Mm. And I can't root for New England, so. And I
Denver
really
getting
have
three.
A dislike for Manning.
I understand.
It's a lose-lose on
father,
the AFC.
Father, brother.
All the Peyton. Family. The only one you like is Cooper Manning because he doesn't play.
Right. Well, these guys think they're bigger than the league.
No, you're right. You're right. You're not wrong about that. So, all right. Well, I want Denver. And I think I'd like to see Carolina. That Super Bowl, I like that matchup of old versus young. Like, here's the old man, Manning, going on the way out. And then there's Cam Newton. If that were to be the Super Bowl matchup, you know.
That'd be great.
The wunderkind. Like, the new Manning, basically. Not the same skill set, but, like, hey.
They're totally different.
Remember when I was that celebrated? Now it's your turn, son.
I think it's going to be Patriots.
So you see it as the passing of the torch?
Right. What I think would be really interesting to happen, you know, I was talking about, you know, the favorite teams won each week. If both underdogs win this week,
because
that could, like, I think that would be some sort of, that would just be amazing to see that happen. Like, the two underdogs won this week. One was a home and one was away, which would also give a pretty good matchup. We've never seen Denver, Arizona. That could be a nice. I'm always interested. Like, what's a matchup we haven't seen before? We saw New England, Carolina, different personnel years ago. What 10 plus? So that might be interesting. So that's how I look at it. Also looking at NFL news, a couple of coaching hires that we haven't got to. Ben McAdoo was officially named head coach of the Giants, which a lot of people were pretty much knew that from the start.
Right.
So
Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly goes to San Francisco, and there was a thing that sales for Colin Kaepernick's, they used his jersey used to be like under $10, and now the price has risen back up just because they hired Kelly with the idea that he's going to.
Were those four operations effective? I think that's more important than that.
True. Well, we'll see.
But it's back to the rivalry, Oregon, USC. Right?
Yeah, sure. You know, he's back home, technically, in the sense that he's on the West Coast.
But has he learned anything? Is he still the smartest man in the room? And
he might be. I've heard comparisons to be. Now, I've heard comparisons in the setting that here's a coach who, you know, he flamed out. Like, he tried to do too much at once, and then this is his second opportunity.
By getting rid of all of his good players and then think you can win what?
Right, that lesser? Too. But there have been correlations to Belichick in Cleveland.
No, wait a minute.
Now, look, I'm not saying achievements, but the fact of I'm hired here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, you're done. Oh, learning, that second. You know, you see that from time to time. You know, the managers, the second time around, they get it.
Yeah.
An example in baseball is, I think it was I think it was Dick Houser.
Really?
Dick Houser, he was with the Yankees, and then he went to the Royals, and he flourished under the Royals. That kind of thing.
Well, I think Chip Kelly's a witch doctor.
You're not wrong.
I'm not seeing long-term success with him in the league.
You might be right. Mm. We'll see.
Is he the type of guy to learn, or is he the type of guy who says, I say...
It's always going to be your fault.
Yeah.
That is true.
You just listen to me.
That is true. Dirk Cotter was officially named the head coach of the Buccaneers, which we already kind of... Dick Cotter? Or Dirk. Dirk Cotter, the offensive coordinator. Okay. Yeah, I know. The offensive coordinator for
Should we get to learn his name or
Dirk Cotter?
How well he does with Jameis Winston.
Well, he did well this year, and let's see if he's a head coach. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, how many of these are really head coaches? Hugh Jackson is getting his second go around. You know, he that's a guy who's going to make the most of his second. He only had 1 year
with the Raiders. Well, everybody gets 1 year,
right? But he was 8-8 with that team, and like the following years they were all under 500. You know, Adam Gase. He's going to get his first chance. Ben McAdoo, of course.
He's the most highly touted young one out
Adam Gase, yes. Absolutely.
And he's never head coached anything.
Nope. McAdoo either. He's never head coached anywhere. And then the last two hires, really. Doug Peterson, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, goes back to Philadelphia, where he was quarterback coach under Andy Reid there. And now he's going to be offensive coordinator, so... You know, depending on how you feel about the Chiefs' two-minute drive, you're either looking with, you know, with beads of sweat.
Him as the head coach, run heavy.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, they're absolutely, especially you know, if you got Murray, all right, then he needs to run the ball.
Maybe use him.
Yeah, maybe just maybe. And then the last hire was Mike Mularkey, although they took the interim tag off, and they made him the head coach.
So with a name like Mularkey, you better be good.
Yeah, that's really tough. That nickname writes itself.
That's true. So that's going on. And then over in baseball, a couple of newsworthy items. The Tigers signed Justin Upton, who was one of the last remaining good outfielders.
Right.
Tigers signed him to a big contract. The owner of the Tigers spends money. Like, he knows that I have all this money.
He knows to get rid of Cespedes.
So then the other news is that Cespedes has been in talks with the Mets.
Right.
Because the Orioles offered...
Because nobody else is dialing up the phone.
Well, pretty much. The Orioles offered, Baltimore Orioles offered him 5 years, $90 million.
And that's not good enough.
No, because he wanted like six, seven at... Because that breaks down to about $18 million a year. No, he wanted like $30-plus million, $30-plus million a year.
Right.
Look, he has the talent, and you know he has the ability, but that's a lot of money to spend on somebody who's been moved around with several franchises.
Who decides when he'll play and when he won't.
Pretty much.
It's a lot. It's a big investment.
Now, the other thing was they were using that as leverage on Chris Davis, their power-hitting first baseman, because their contract talks have stalled. And then, lo and behold, after the Cespedes news came out, they signed Chris Davis to, I think, like 7 years, $127.6 million. Like a really large contract. So then that pretty much where went Cespedes money. Because the teams that were remaining for Cespedes were the Orioles, the Tigers, the White Sox, and technically the Mets. So the Tigers are now out of it because they signed Upton. It seems like the Orioles are out of it because they signed Davis and there's not enough money left. And they gave him a small offering.
Sure.
So the talk was that they were talking with the Mets, Cespedes' people. Not a contract offer. A contract offer was not made. But the Mets had said, look, a year, two at the most. And they can probably give $30 million. Like short-term, lot of money deals where it's off the books after a year or two. Okay, we gave them a lot of money right now. But we don't have to worry about that headache in the future when you're hurting, you're older, when your skills diminish. And then there's the White Sox, which that no contract has been offered, but doesn't seem like they're doing 1 or 2 years. So the only way he's going to come back to the Mets is if the market really dries up.
1 year deal.
1 year deal at like $31 million.
What?
Well, that might be good for the Mets as well. Keep him in the contract year, and he
right
turn up.
Plus, and that's the other thing. Like, that's the plus side. Like, oh, wow, the market's really soft on me. Maybe if I come back next year, I can get a hire. Yeah. Or you can just spend the next, you know, however many years are left doing 1 year, $30 million. That's what you want anyway.
With the Mets' luck with free agency, I'm figuring that he'll play 2 months get hurt, and you won't see him again.
It's a good point. But, you know, I never understand why players don't want to come to New York. Because, well,
it's currently...
It might be the limelight.
Very cold.
Well, cold, the limelight, but endorsements.
And like anyone, and it's at sea level.
It's at sea level.
The ball doesn't pop.
But any money, you can make so much more off endorsements. You know, I mean, I look around, I drive around on the...
So you think Madison Avenue should be the...
well, why not?
The draw.
Well, I heard because he's represented by Jay-Z's organization.
Yeah.
And they have, economists on their staff.
Economists,
my apologies. I speak for a living. Economists who, you know, discuss, look, you can make this much money off of, you know, just just being in the city off endorsements, as opposed to going to a smaller city and making this much.
Philadelphia.
I heard a story about Joe Namath. This was, of course, back in the 60s. Where he was drafted, he was going to be drafted by either the Cardinals or the Jets. And this was back when it was NFL, AFL. So the Cardinals, the plus for the Cardinals were as well, you get a Cadillac and...
And Bush beer to drink.
And you get a weekly and a weekly radio show to host. And he's like, oh. And then it's like, what does New York have to offer? New York has to offer New York. It has Broadway shows. It has
everything.
It has Page Six. It has, you know, again, Madison Avenue.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So obviously he went with the Jets and thus the legend of Broadway Joe as opposed to St. Louis's number one radio talk show host or something. I don't know.
Oh, can you imagine an NFL quarterback now hosting radio? Which I don't know any quarterbacks who'd be a good enough speakers.
Well, he's not a quarterback. However, I know John Riggins retirement he's like a big sports talk.
XM.
Is
not
he on XM?
No.
Oh, I forget. Well, I know.
I thought he did stuff with Mad Dog.
Sometimes.
In the past?
Yeah, sometimes. But
He's not hanging out with the Supreme Court justice.
Well, because he's DC based. So, but I know for a long time he did DC radio. I think he still does actually.
Right.
So that's cool. That's probably the one. One example I can give of former athletes who turned to talk show hosts. And he talks sports, so.
But he's a bit of a rebel. He's
not going to talk economics, is he?
No.
The Business Review.
No.
Although he made some good decisions.
Yes, he did. He did, very much so.
Saved his money.
That's true. All right, so is there anything else? The Golden State Warriors really beat up on the Cavaliers.
Basketball? The tennis.
Alex.
Now I've heard about this in the last 4 or 5 years that this has been going on.
Right.
Like, you know, very low rated players winning, you know, impossible matches.
Upsetting.
Huge odds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whispers have been out there. Now, how much meat is on this bone?
Alex?
Yeah. Lots. I think it's. Depending on who you ask, it's a real problem in tennis. Like, you have so many games, and so many of them no one cares about.
Yeah.
Matches. Yeah.
You have, like, seven game tournaments, so you have to win seven to win it.
Right.
It's like no one cares if you're in the... Unless you're playing one of the top seeds.
Right.
No one really notices.
Right.
Like, first three rounds of a tournament.
Or even the big opens.
So you're saying
Australia
it
Open,
be,
French
it
Open.
It can be done and not be noticed.
Well, apparently it has.
Apparently
been done.
It's... Well, the problem is it is being noticed.
I found out about it.
That's how far it fell.
I had one of my friends worked at Betfair, which is a big betting exchange in the UK at the time of when this big scandal came out. And he was saying it's so obvious because you have this rank 60 player playing a rank 220 player.
Right.
And the rank 60 player goes one set up.
Right.
But the market is so pushing the underdog.
Yeah.
And then midway through the second set, guy just retires.
Yeah.
And that's it. Oh, I'm hurt. I don't need to play anymore.
Yeah, I was reading an account of that where it's I forget which player. It's not one that I knew.
Davidenko, I want to say.
Something like that.
A Russian.
It was a Russian where, like, you know, all of a sudden all of this money started flooding in from Russian sites. And all of a sudden he's like, "Ow, my foot." I gotta sit this one out.
And they're like, I won't give you my phone.
Right.
I won't give you my emails. I won't give you my bank records. Yeah. Nothing. And the tennis authorities don't help.
No.
And it's when you have this report from the integrity unit, and then they suppress it.
Yeah.
That's when you start saying, okay.
That's tough.
Why?
Sounds like FIFA all over again.
And then, of course, the other question is, the obvious, why don't people speak up when they're approached?
Well, it's only now that this...
Is it cement shoes in their future they don't want to face?
Again, if you're rank 120 in the world, you play the tour, you get your money.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and it's also, what are you going to do with your career if you don't take the payday?
Yeah, exactly. You're making the money now. Who's it? Novak Djokovic said that he was, I forget when, but he was approached and offered $200,000 to
throw like a Masters event. Like,
right, exactly.
In Cincinnati or something. And it's just like,
no. Yeah, I mean, nobody would care, but no, I'm not gonna do that.
Well, especially, he's got talent.
Yes.
He can earn the money by playing well.
Yes.
Will this be as big as the FIFA scandal?
Football, tennis isn't as big as sport, so I don't think it will be. It might be just as bad.
But it depends where. Having been to London during the British Open, or Wimbledon, my apologies. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking golf, not
golf. Yeah.
Golf.
Up in St. Andrews.
Well, if everything, the Australian Open, the U.S. Open, the French Open, and
Wimbledon.
You know.
fair.
So at Wimbledon, having been in London during that time, like it was big.
Yeah,
I mean, even here in the New York City area, when it's U.S. Open time, it's a big deal then too.
And then you never hear about tennis again.
That's true. No, you never hear about it. It's a summer event in the U.S., and they're like, go away.
But it's also so much easier to influence. You can't, even with FIFA, the problem is it's the corruption at the top.
Right.
Here, it's corruption at the kind of grassroots level.
True.
It's much easier to bribe a single player than it is to bribe 11.
Exactly. It's team versus single. So that's a very good point.
Especially when you have one of the win conditions be, I just don't want to play anymore. I'm injured.
Right.
I walk
you
off.
You give up. You all that stuff. Yeah, that's really interesting. So we'll see what else comes out with that.
Mm.
So, all right. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining me. Dad, thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you as well, Alex.
Thank you.
Next week, we'll be coming to you right following Championship Sunday, having some people over, and whoever's around will be shanghaied into, or shall I say roped, using a antiquated term, roped into doing an episode. So, all right, thank you very much. Take care. And Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.